ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And yes, we had a beautiful celebration of Ram Navami, even though we didn't have the kind of crowds that Puttaparthi used to see on this occasion because of the circumstances in India and everywhere in the world. But still, by Bhagavan's grace, we had the beautiful Sitarama Kalyanam, which was done in a very grand manner in Sai Kulwant Hall in the morning of 21st of April, the Ram Navami day. And in the evening, we had the offering of a bouquet of songs dedicated to Bhagwan. And people in the comfort of their homes, wherever they are, they're able to tune in, they're able to soak in the vibrations of the celebrations going on in Prashanthi Nilayam. It is Bhagwan's grace that He gifted us this medium to remain connected to Prashanthi, even though we don't have the opportunity to physically be here. And the prayers, the power of Prashanthi continues to pull people, continues to mesmerize people, continues to transform people. And whenever I think about this holy hamlet, I always think about all those beautiful souls that Bhagwan shaped, all those amazing personalities who are not known, all those servitors of Bhagwan who silently worked for Him, and so many who continue to work for Him. When we had the Krishna avatar, there were so many gopikas who longed for Krishna, who used to think only of Krishna, who used to see Krishna everywhere, who used to drink Krishna, eat Krishna, sleep Krishna. That is how the gopikas were. But we hardly know of any gopikas, isn't it? We hear about Radha and probably one or two other names. But there were so many gopikas. And if only we had the detailed stories of all these gopikas, how wonderful it would have been. Because according to Bhagwan, the gopikas were at the acme of devotion. When you think about the times of Rama, so many monkeys joined in the mission of vanquishing the evil, so many so joyfully joined Rama's army, and they were every day enjoying the bliss of being part of Rama's army, of being in Rama's camp, of seeing Rama, of getting his proximity, of having the opportunity to be with Rama, to talk to Rama. But we know the stories of just a few monkeys, isn't it? We just know of Hanuman, we just know of Angad, just a few little stories. But there were thousands of monkeys, and each one's tail would be so beautiful, isn't it? When we think about the Satya Sai Avatar, there were so many students who had that opportunity of physical proximity. There were so many devotees who had the opportunity of serving Bhagwan at close quarters. There were so many sacred, pious souls who had the opportunity to sport with Bhagwan in the early years, in the 50s, in the 60s. And when we read one or two accounts, we are mesmerized with the kind of opportunities, the kind of blessings and the kind of leelas and mahimas that people were blessed with. And I always feel Prashanti is what it is today because of such souls, such pure souls who gave their everything to Bhagwan. What is Krishna without the stories of the Gopikas and Radha and Pandavas? It is the stories of the devotees which talk about the glory of the divine. And it is the same when we talk about the stories of the devotees, when we talk about those people who had the opportunity to serve Swami, to be with Swami, to give their everything to Swami and experience the joy of His proximity, the joy of His grace, the revelation of the power that He is. It is these stories which inspire us. It is these stories which are lampposts. They guide us. They tell us, don't be discouraged if you're not able to move, if you're not able to progress at the pace that you want to. Walk on that path. You will experience His abounding grace and love. I've been sharing with you the story of Kantamma Garu, who had the opportunity to come to Bhagwan way back in the 60s. It was on the sacred occasion of Shivratri that she had her first darshan of Bhagwan, and I've told you about her early life, how when she was just in her teens, she got married and she had a baby and lost her husband even before she was 16, 17. And at that young age, she became the sarpanch of the village. At 19, 20, she became the head of the village. At the same time, her heart was at the feet of Lord Panduranga. I've told you about her passion and devotion for Lord Panduranga and how in Swami she saw Panduranga and how that changed her life, her goal, her spiritual sadhana completely, and how Bhagwan blessed her with lovely opportunities of traveling with Him in 1963, 1964, when Bhagwan went to Srisailam in Andhra Pradesh, when Bhagwan journeyed to Bhadrachalam, she was with Sai Rama having the darshan of Lord Ramachandra in the sacred shrine of Bhadrachalam. And then her life's dream of hosting Bhagwan in her home happened, and I have shared with you that entire trip of Bhagwan from March 21st to April 6th, 1965, how Bhagwan went to so many places, Rajahmundry, Kakinada, and ultimately did keep the promise and come to the village of Satyavada in the West Godavari district. And that is when Kantamma Garu had the opportunity to have Bhagwan in her own home. and I have shared with you that entire journey as well as that golden moment of our life. And how after that Bhagwan graced her with so many blessings. It was not just spiritual. Swami ensured that she has a better house. Swami ensured that she has property. Swami ensured that there is enough for her family, for her next generation, everything. Bhagwan took care. And she had only one prayer, Swami, let your grace always be on me. And I shared with you how in the next year, Bhagwan came to Rajahmundry and Swami did not come again to her place, even though that was her prayer, and then that continued to be her prayer for so many years. But Swami went to another place called Mandapeta, where there was a devotee by name Mr. Chaudhary, who was very committed to Bhagwan's mission, and how Bhagwan gave her the opportunity to serve him during that visit in the house of Chaudhary, Mr. Chaudhary. And even though Bhagwan did not come to her village, to her house again, but Swami made her heart full with giving her similar opportunities at a different place. Kantamma Garu was happy. They were also happy. And Swami ensured that Kantamma Garu, being a single lady, does not have to go through all that trouble of organizing the trip, because it is not easy hosting Bhagwan. So many people gather and you have to make arrangements. And in that little village, it was not an easy task to host Bhagwan. You have to make arrangements right from having police to having dozens of volunteers to having power, water, because these are early days. India's villages did not have all the facilities. And after that, many times she would ask Swami, Swami, you must come to my house once again. And Swami said, yes, yes, yes. And on one occasion, Swami said, who are you to invite me to my own house? Who are you to invite me to my own house? I will come to my house on my own. You don't need to invite me from now on. So with that, she could not again ask Swami like before. Swami saying, it's my home, I will come whenever I want to. It is not your home that you will invite me. So Swami had his own ways of making her happy as well as ensuring that this continuous prayer of hers moves on to a different dimension. But at the same time, whenever Bhagwan came to Rajahmundry, to anywhere in Andhra, during in and around that area, East West Godavari district, Kantamma Garu would always go there, even if she had to travel 5 hours, 6 hours, do overnight journeys, she would always do, and she would never miss a moment of being with Bhagwan. So sometime in the 70s, Bhagwan was again in Rajahmundry, and the senior devotees Nedamurthy Satyam Garu and Dandamudi Ramarao Garu, they had made all arrangements for Bhagwan to go to the banks of River Godavari. They've been asking Swami for this, that Swami should come and Swami should travel and go to the banks of River Godavari. And Kantamma Garu used to travel that distance of 50 kilometers from Satyavada to Rajahmundry, and every day she would visit Swami. There was an island in the middle of the waters, and not too big an area, but just enough to accommodate a small group. And they were praying to Swami that Swami must visit that island. And when Bhagwan finally consented during this visit, which happened in the 70s, they had made arrangements of two boats to reach that sand island, and they had made all the preparations for it to be a beautiful divine picnic where they would have food with Swami. This place is called Uma Koti Lingeshwara Swami Temple. It is called Koti Linga Revu. There were a crore lingas, as the legend goes. It was built in the 10th century. And Lord Koti Lingeshwara is the main deity in this temple on this island. And this place is surrounded by bathing ghats. The temple is considered one of the Shakti Pithas, and it is located at a ferry point from where one can cross the river Godavari. And this is a shrine which holds a lot of significance for the Hindus, and people believe that taking a dip in this holy water sanctifies you. Besides the lovely waters and the greenery and the godly atmosphere there, you have the life-size Shivalinga. There's a huge Shivalinga. In fact, it measures 108 feet. Huge Shivalinga. Probably one of the tallest Shivalingas in the world. And this Shivalinga is surrounded by lakhs of smaller Shivalingas, the smaller Shivalingas sprawling all over the area. Perhaps the area was in acres. In acres of land, you had so many Shivalingas, and that is the reason why it is called Koti Shivalinga, a crore Shivalingas. And apart from this, there are also many other shrines. The shrine of Lord Panchamukha Ganapati. There is Goddess Kanaka Parameshwari. There is Lord Panduranga Swami. There is Lord Rama, Lord Anjaneya, Lord Lakshmana. So you had so many other shrines. And there are so many legends attached to this place. One of them is that King Ravana used to offer his obeisance to Lord Shiva in this temple. So it's a very, very sacred shrine, and devotees wanted Bhagwan to go to that scenic spiritual space. And given that the temple is very crowded in the morning, they wanted Bhagwan to come in the night so that they could have more easy time with Swami. They could spend more time with Swami, and there would be less people and less crowd. So they had arranged for 50 devotees to go with Bhagwan, and dinner was also arranged, and they had taken all these lamps. In those days, you used to have these Petromax lamps, you didn't have torches and things like that. And given that there was water all around, it was pretty cool, and there was one senior devotee who had prepared food for Bhagwan, and that was kept in a special carriage, in a special carrier. And that carriage was given to Kantamagaru. She was supposed to keep it with her and offer to Bhagwan when it was time for dinner. So Kantamakaru was holding this carriage with her, and because there were so many cold breeze all around, she did not want the food to get really very cold, so she was covering that carriage with her sari so that, you know, the food remains warm. So she had draped that tiffin carrier with her sari. And in the previous episode, I mentioned to you about Chaudhary Garu, Mr. Chaudhary, and her mother from Mandapet, where Bhagwan had visited their home, they were also there as part of this group, and they had brought a huge flower garland for Bhagwan. In those days, Swami used to accept these garlands, and Swami took that garland, and Swami, instead of putting it on himself, Swami placed it in a basket. Swami said, wait, first you keep it in this basket. And so once they reached that island, the floor was very damp and cold, so they had made arrangements for Bhagwan to sit on a chair and a table, and everyone was sitting around Bhagwan. And as everyone was enjoying that cool breeze and that ethereal time with Bhagwan, you lost in the bliss of being with Swami in the midst of such sublime nature. And suddenly Bhagwan's hand went up in the air, and there appeared in his hand a huge Shivalinga. A huge Shivalinga. It was literally glowing. And everyone was stunned to look at this amazing manifestation of Bhagwan. People had torchlight, and they put the torchlight and they wanted to see it more clearly. And as everyone was flabbergastedly looking at that lingam, Swami started telling about the history of that lingam. And Swami said, that was the lingam from the Somnath temple. People who have read Satyam Shivam Sundaram would know Bhagwan visited the sacred shrine of Somnath in the month of May 1970. Professor Kasturi very beautifully describes this episode in Bhagwan's biography. It happened on May 17th to 20th when Bhagwan was in Mumbai. On the 17th, Bhagwan charged the Somnath shrine with divine potency. It was an epoch-making day. Swami fulfilled the prayers of the late Jam Sahib of Navanagar, the person who was primarily responsible for the renovation of this historic temple. Swami visited that place, and Swami allowed his name to be associated with a structure that is a limb of that complex. It was the Rajmata of Navanagar, who was a very ardent devotee of Bhagwan, who succeeded in persuading Bhagwan to come to Gujarat and inaugurate this imposing architectural gem called Digvijay Dwar. Sri Digvijay Singh was the late Jam Sahib, and he had built this new gateway for the temple, and it was called Digvijay Dwar, the gateway of victory. And the Somnath shrine is situated on a spot which is celebrated in the Vedas, in the epics. It is the shrine of Shiva, of Shiva Shakti, Shiva with Uma, Soma. In fact, they say that the Shiva yogis who specialized in Soma Vidya and the followers of the Pashupata cult founded by sage Lakulisa about 200 AD, they spread the fame of this temple from sea to sea. They established Somnaths with Someshwara shrines all over the land, in East Godavari, in Jodhpur, in Mysore, in South Kannada districts, in Karnataka. And Somnath, once upon a time, was one of the richest temples of India. But sadly, when Muslims conquered and ruled over Punjab and Sindh, because of its richness, it attracted the plunderers. And unfortunately, the temple had a very, very sad history. Sad history of depredation, desecration, destruction. And many times it was reconstructed, rededicated, but again it was destroyed. So it went through a harrowing phase for so many decades and centuries. There was this infamous raid by Muhammad of Ghazni in 1026 AD, which was a huge catastrophe for the temple. So after India attained independence, on Diwali Day 1947, Indian Army entered the Nawabdom of Junagadh and liberated the pathetically dilapidated temple, which had now just become a pile of stone. They rescued it, and the temple reconstruction began. Sardar Vallabhai Patel announced on that day, amidst the joyous roar of the waves of eager devotees, he said, "We have decided that Somnath should be reconstructed, and this is a holy task in which all should participate." And that is how, after India's independence, the Somnath Shrine got a new look. It was completely rebuilt. And this temple was planned closely on the basis of the earlier temples. And the Gopuram, or the main gateway through which seekers would enter into the portals of this temple, which has that Jyotirlinga, this main gate was to be inaugurated by Bhagwan, by Shiva Shakti Swarupa himself. And that happened in May 1970. In fact, Bhagwan declared on that day that he would reveal the genuine Somnath that day. And all the people who were with Bhagwan, they were filled with wonder and enthusiastic exuberance. So many people had come from Jamnagar. They wanted to be with Bhagwan on that historic day. Bhagwan was received at the decorated Shamiana in front of the Digvijay Dwar by the trustees of the Somnath Temple, as well as by the high officers of Gujarat, those that district and the state. And amidst the strains of temple music and lovely chants, Bhagwan walked on the red carpet laid on the steps, and he opened the lock on the artistically carved and silver embossed door with a silver key. And once the gateway was open, Swami walked through that and proceeded along the festooned pathway between rows of fresh banana leaves and eye-catching decorations. Bhagwan went into the shrine, main shrine of Someshwar, the focal point of the faith of millions for millennia. And as Bhagwan entered the holiest sanctum sanctorum, the Brahmin pandits there, they were reciting Vedic hymns. And because the temple has a huge conical roof, which is almost like 150 feet high above the ground, the Vedic hymns were reverberating there. The sonorous chants really charged that place. And Bhagwan then directed that a plate should be brought. And then Swami spread the fingers of his right hand over that plate, and he just shook it once, and immediately 108 silver bilwa leaves and 108 golden flowers, silver leaves and golden flowers, fell from his hand in a clink-clink shower onto the plate, and all the devotees reverentially touched them. Bhagwan was recharging the lingam, He was doing Abhishekam to that Lingam with his mystical manifestations, and the devotees who were there, they could not thank the Lord more for this lifetime opportunity. There was a Lingam that had been installed by Sri Rajendra Prasad, the President of India, and Bhagwan poured these leaves of silver and gold on that Lingam. Swami had done this at Sri Shailam. We know Swami had done this at Badrinath. And as Bhagwan revitalized the Lingam, it was like Ganga being poured into the stream of Ganga. And as this was going on, as this Abhishekam was going on, and as Swami finished recharging that Lingam, suddenly his hand again went up in the air, and lo and behold, there was a brilliant ball of light that manifested in his palm. The Somnath Lingam, it is said, is one of the 12 Jyotirlingams, lingams imbued with the splendor of light. And Baba, Swami, had that linga of light right now in his grasp. Swami held that ball of light which concretized into a linga. What a moment it was. And Swami then showed that magnificent creation, and that's when Professor Kasturi says, I remembered Swami's announcement when Swami had said, I shall show you the genuine Someshwara Lingam today, the genuine shrine, the genuine Linga of Somnath, the Linga, one of the genuine Jyotir Lingas that were installed eons ago in this shrine. Swami had brought it from the past. It is said that this genuine lingam was installed by Brahma himself and worshipped by the moon god. That's why it is Somnath. Som is the moon. In fact, in the Skanda Purana, it is mentioned that thousands of years ago, the Sparsha Lingam of Somnath, which is a Swayambhu Lingam, which is as bright as the sun, the size of an egg of a hen, they said that this lingam is there underground. This is what is mentioned in the Skanda Purana. And it has the characteristic of Vayu. What Bhagwan had brought this lingam from the underground with a wave of his hand, this oval ball of light in his hand, was that authentic Someshwara. That lingam that was lost to humanity and which was buried underground. The lingam had gone underground as the temple had gone through phases of destruction and desecration. Bhagwan showed that lingam to everyone, the priests, the trustees. He had brought it from that underground niche. And as everyone was looking at that lingam with unblinking eyes, Swami waved his hand again and created a silver stand on which this lingam could be placed. And then Bhagwan gave that lingam, placing it on that silver stand, to the chief priest. And Swami said, from now on, let this be in the full light of day hereafter. Let pious eyes admire its brilliance and imprint its glory on their hearts. There is no need any more to keep it away. The avatar has come to remove all fear. No need for that lingam to hide anymore. Keep it outside. Let everyone benefit from its power, brilliance and glory. And when Bhagwan resurrected that lingam, everyone around started shouting. Thousands were just lost in singing the glory of Bhagwan. Jai Bhagwan, Jai Bhagwan, Jai Bolo Bhagwan. Sri Satya Sai Baba Ji ki reverberator. Lord Shiva Shakti had gone to Somnath to resurrect Someshwara. Shiva had himself come to recharge the shrine so that people's mind learned to focus on Shankara. People's mind become pure and learn to be as cool as the moon and as pure as Shiva. So this is the story of the Somnath Shrine being erected, and the reason I mentioned to you about this is When devotees took Bhagwan to this Kotilingeshwara shrine on an island, which is called this Kotilinga Revu, after everyone had settled down and it was about 9 o'clock in the night, and I told you, Bhagwan suddenly caught thin air and converted into a huge linga, and then revealed that this is the same Someshwara linga. And I remember, as I was talking to Kanta Magaru, she was saying it was glowing. It was so bright, you know. It was like moon, because they were all sitting there in the night, and this lingam was glowing there. And once that was materialized, then Mr. Chaudhary, who had got those flowers for Bhagwan, and Swami had told, keep it in the basket. Swami asked for that basket now. And then Swami kept this lingam in that flower basket. And after everyone saw the lingam, and the lingam was kept there, Swami suddenly looked at Kantamakaru. I told you, she was holding this carriage for Bhagwan, the tiffin carrier which had food for Bhagwan, and Swami said, oh, is that what you're holding, the carriage for me? And Kantamagar was so happy, because physically no one knew that she was holding that carriage for Bhagwan. One of the devotees who had prepared that dinner for Bhagwan had given it to her to keep it with her and serve Bhagwan. And here, when Bhagwan saw how carefully she was holding that carriage and ensuring that it is protected from the elements, it does not get very cold, and Swami so sweetly asked her about that carriage. And after that, food was served to everyone. And once dinner was done, everyone's mind was on that linga, because, you know, you don't get such opportunities with the divine. And Swami then said, that linga has to go back to the source. Get that basket. In fact, there was one 10-year-old boy who was made in charge of that basket. And Swami said, get that basket. And Swami said, I hope the 10-year-old boy has not gone off to Somrath along with that linga. Swami just joked. And then everyone looked at that basket, and they saw that those flowers were there. That basket was there, but that lingam was nowhere to be seen. Swami said, no, I sent it back. The temple priest there will get anxious if they don't see the linga for long. They will start getting worried about the missing linga. So I sent it back, Swami said. So Kanta Magaru had this opportunity to be with Bhagwan, to see such once in a lifetime moments with Bhagwan. You may not have had the chance to go with Swami to Somnath, but he can bring Somnath to you. He can do anything for you. And Kantama's heart was full to be able to travel with Bhagwan and to be able to bask in such unparalleled moments of grace. But she never lost that prayer to ask Swami, please come to Satyavada, because that bliss that she experienced in 1965 for one whole day when Bhagwan was there with her, she wanted to recreate that. And whenever she asked, Bhagwan was very kind. Swami perhaps knew that longing that she had for Bhagwan. But Swami told her, see, what do I do now? There is an old person by name Potaraju. He is a very long-time devotee, and he is now ill. He cannot see properly. He is almost 70, 80 years old now. And they have all invited me for a function. I think I should go there. I should see him. So Kantamagaru did not know what to say. Swami said, see, if I come to your place also now, I will not have much time, hardly 30 minutes. Wouldn't you want that I come when I have at least one whole day isn't that what you would prefer? And she said, yes, Swami, of course. You know, we would want you to host for why one day, for days together. And when this conversation was going on, there was this devotee, Karunyananda. You know, he was a monk and he had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan. And he used to serve Swami at close quarters. So he overheard this conversation of Kantamagaru asking Swami again to come to her place. And so after the conversation ended and Swami moved forward, this Karunyananda Garu called Kantamagaru, and she and he told her a little sternly. He said, why are you going on asking Swami again and again that, you know, he should come to your place? Swami has so many things to do. You cannot ask Swami like that. You cannot keep pestering Swami. You cannot keep praying to Swami that Swami should come to your place. And he told that to Kantamagaru, and Kantamagaru did not know what to say. She just kept quiet. But the interesting thing is, Swami just stopped wherever Swami was walking in the front. He stopped. Swami came back. And Swami asked Karunyananda, what were you asking? What were you talking with Kantamma? And Karunyananda did not say anything. Swami said, see, you people, you are never satisfied. I have come to Rajahmundry so many times. But still, every time you ask me, Swami, please come, please come, please come to Rajahmundry. Every time you have so many plans, you have so many arrangements, you have so many ideas. You want to do this, you want to do that, you want me to stay for 3 days, 10 days. I have come so many times, but you are never satisfied. I have gone to her village once. And if she is praying, what is the problem? Don't you think she will have that desire just like you people have? You want me to come to your place any number of times. And I have told her that I will come, and that's why she is asking. Why are you coming in between? And Karunyananda immediately apologized to Bhagwan. And Kantamagaru was in tears. I mean, Kantamagaru says, look at the love of Bhagwan. He does not even let a fly land on his devotees, like a mother protects her kids, like a cat protects the kitten. Swami will protect his devotees. In fact, as the journey ended and as the trip from the Kotilingeshwara shrine concluded and people were coming back to the road, and when as Bhagwan was getting into his car, Swami kept looking at Kantamagaru, and Swami would say, ayo, papam, papam, Kantamma. Swami would feel so sorry for her. Perhaps Swami was just responding to her devotion, responding to her sincere yearning to have Bhagwan once again in her place. It was almost like 2.5 hours they had been with Swami, going and coming and watching that spectacle of recreating Someshwara. In fact, after Bhagwan had returned to Puttaparthi in 1965, after the trip to Kantamagaru's village, there were a few photographs that were sent to Swami about the visit to Satyavada. And Bhagwan would show those photographs to Ramabrahmam Garu when Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. Swami would show these photographs to Ramabrahmam Garu, and Swami would very mischievously ask him, tell me, where is this place, where am I giving darshan? And Ramabrahmam Garu could not guess, and Swami would very excitedly say, you know what, I took a ladder, I climbed on that ladder and I went and, you know, I sat on that parapet wall and I gave darshan to all from there in Satyavada. And Swami would recall those beautiful moments, those yearning of devotees for having his darshan, and how he just went and sat on that roof to give darshan at noon under hot sun. And Swami would tell Kantamakaru that I really rested very well at your place. For 15 days I had not had rest, but Kantamakaru ensured that Swami is not disturbed at all. She would not allow anyone to go to Bhagwan's room when Bhagwan was resting, not even her own family members. And Bhagwan would say that I really rested well at your place. Even though it was daytime, I really slept. And then Kantamakaru would say, Swami, you should come to my place whenever you want to rest. And Swami said, rest? If I rest, the whole world will come to a full stop. If Swami relaxes, then the whole world will relax, Swami said. And those were those moments which Kantama was blessed with, those revelatory moments. And after that, after having seen Bhagwan at such close quarters and experienced such love and grace, of course, she did not want to do anything other than just give her life completely to Bhagwan. And I've told you how Bhagwan gave her the opportunity of looking after the South Indian canteen. She served for more than 35 years after the new canteen was formally inaugurated. And even now, at 86, she is engaged in serving people. Every day she would think about what to do for Bhagwan, what to do for Bhagwan. And the moment she talks about Bhagwan, there would be tears streaming down her cheeks. And I feel it is such pure souls, it is such beacons of light, beacons of inspiration, who can fire that yearning for the divine in our hearts. And as we listen to more and more of such stories, even as we learn about His glory, we get charged up to evaluate where are we and how we can accelerate our journey to God, how we can increase our love for God, how we can yearn for Him like we have done never before, so that we can experience His grace like we have experienced never before. So we'll continue this, dear listeners. There are perhaps a few more episodes from the life of Kantamakaru, and I will share with you how she settled down in Prashantinilayam and her experiences of working in the canteen and the lessons that she learned serving Bhagwan at close quarters, and what it is to lead a life where you know nothing but Swami, and your mission in life is to do nothing but serve Swami. And there are so many such souls, so many such blessed individuals, and each one's story is a blessing. Each one's story is a slice from Sai Bhagavatam which can enrich us, reinvigorate us, and charge us on this beautiful path of becoming one with Sai by loving Him intensely. So we'll continue this, dear listeners. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet in all humility, I take a leave and wish you beautiful moments of being with Swami on this lovely Thursday. Sai Ram.